Okay, the first question was, what are your main goals as an American ambassador to Bulgaria?
Well, I think probably the most important goal for me is in the area of economic growth and development, because I think Bulgaria has all the other elements in place to succeed as an ally and partner of ours, as a member of the European Union. There are some other issues that you all know about better than I do, but none of them are really serious. The serious one is economic, because if there aren't enough jobs, if there isn't enough money for people to live at a decent standard of living, then I think the rest of the effort is just going to be very hard to succeed. If the economy is doing better, I think everything else is there with the partnerships and alliances and all the benefits that Bulgaria gets as an EU member. So I want to encourage American investment. I want to encourage investment that brings jobs at good wages. And I want to encourage more trade. I want to encourage free trade between the United States and Bulgaria, which we're working on as part of our free trade agreement, TTIP, which is, we hope, in the next few years will happen. And then I want to encourage more contact between Bulgarians and Americans through travel, through exchanges. You all know our summer work and travel program. That's a very important part of what we do, but it's not enough. I want to do more encouraging university scholarships, including getting more young Americans to Bulgaria. So that's sort of the broad area, but those would be the biggest priorities.
And if you allow me to add one more, you've already achieved a great performance of activity in Bulgaria, being involved in so many things. And the way that I heard you a while ago to present Bulgaria was very impressive. And you're a very passionate advocate of Bulgaria now. So I would inform all of you and all the Bulgarian community that we have already a high bar of somebody who works for Bulgaria, and there's no reason for the Bulgarian community not to follow.
Well, thanks.
The other question was, what are the major priorities between Bulgaria and the U.S.?
So I think that's a big question, because there are a lot of them. One of them, as I mentioned, is in the economic sphere, getting more trade and investment in both directions. And we're having some success on that, including some major American firms that have invested recently, a lot of American companies moving their back office, their logistics operations to Bulgaria, bringing good jobs, a lot of tech companies doing a lot of investment. So that's really positive. A second one is to support Bulgaria as an ally of the United States at a difficult time when the Middle East is in turmoil, when the whole Black Sea region is unstable, when we've had the Russian annexation of Crimea and occupation of eastern Ukraine, at a time when you've got the migrant crisis, you've got the threat of Brexit today. We'll see how that goes. It's a difficult time, and we recognize that, plus terrorism. Multiple terrorist attacks in Europe this year, thankfully not in Bulgaria. Also, unfortunately, attacks here in the United States as well. So that's the other job I think is fundamental, is to do everything I can to help Bulgaria as an ally and a partner, which includes strengthening cooperation on counterterrorism. It includes strengthening cooperation on information sharing, helping Bulgaria better control its borders. That's an effort that we're working together with our Department of Homeland Security. We just had a visit of our Commissioner of Border Protection. Commissioner Krylakowski was in Sofia a few weeks ago to help see how we can help more with border issues, because Bulgaria clearly has some serious border issues. I think there are other areas. Culturally, I think I want to do more to help show the best of America to Bulgarians. Unfortunately, since Bulgaria joined the European Union, we've had less money for programs like that, and we're trying to work with our America for Bulgaria Foundation to partner to support cultural programming, bringing American artists and performers to Bulgaria, bringing Bulgarians to the United States. So I want to work on that, and I especially want to focus on the young generation, which is very impressive and very promising. And has lots of opportunities now, but I think we need to do more to connect them with the United States.
You almost touched upon the next question, which was, you have spent many years observing Russia. So would you say that there is a strong amount of Russian propaganda and influence in Bulgaria?
Rather than answer that directly, I think what I'd rather say is what I see my job is trying to support Bulgarians being able to make their own decisions, to being able to be a truly sovereign and independent country, and supporting free and independent media so that the citizens of Bulgaria have the information they need to make good decisions. So to the extent that there is intentionally bad information out there, to the extent that there are efforts to influence the decisions that Bulgarians make from outside, that is a cause for concern. But at the same time, I think the answer to it has to be our making a positive effort to support Bulgarians, to help support independent media, which we're doing, and to take a positive approach to it. In other words, not what we're against, but what we should be doing more of.
So you again mentioned the media. In your opinion, are the medias in Bulgaria independent? Was the next question that we received.
So I would say on that, the answer is yes and no. You have free media in Bulgaria because the media can criticize the government without fear of consequences. So obviously very, very different from communist days. But you don't have truly independent media in the sense of the people knowing who is behind the various news organizations, who owns them, what economic interest may be affecting the news coverage. In that sense, they're not independent. So I would say they're free but not independent, and more independence is important. And I think the way you get that is through transparency, through helping the public learn who is controlling which media, and then the public can decide in the marketplace which media they want to watch or read. But it's important that they know if there's an agenda or a particular outside influence. And these days, it's impossible to know. We have no way of knowing at the embassy frequently. You can sometimes guess by how the coverage reads, but that kind of information should be public.
Okay. The question that we received next would be, does Bulgaria seem like a loyal ally to the U.S. in terms of willingness to work with the United States? Have there been any issues in that area?
I would say no issues. I think that's a very strong yes in every respect. On military and security cooperation, Bulgarians fought with us in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're doing peacekeeping with us in Kosovo. They're doing a lot to cooperate on sharing information on terrorism and other threats, transnational threats. We have excellent information sharing, excellent coordination on issues like that. I think on all the important foreign policy issues, we're very much together. So I think, you know, certainly Bulgaria has been an ally of ours for 12 years now, and I would find it hard to cite a single example when it was not a great ally.
Thank you for that. What is the main target of American support to Bulgaria? Investments, monetary, or security, military? That was the other question.
Yeah, that goes back to the first answer. I think economic is the most important, but we are intensifying our cooperation on security. Our militaries, together with other militaries in NATO, are doing much more in terms of exercises and training. And we have right now on the ground in Bulgaria more than 500 U.S. Armed Forces personnel training and doing exercises with the Air Force, with the Navy, and with the Army. So there is a security component, and that is aimed at ensuring that Bulgaria can defend itself against any threats at a very difficult time in the region and the world. And Bulgarians are very conscious, I think, that by air, Bulgaria is not much more than an hour from the Syrian conflict. So this is very real and very close, and Bulgaria is right to want to strengthen and modernize its military. But that is not number one. I would say number one is economic.
Okay, and once again, just to remind, it's not me questioning you. I'm
right.
Just reading
right,
the questions that we have received from the media. Two more left from those who have been primarily sent to us. Is corruption an issue in the political system? Are you a supporter of the fight between the Bulgarian government and corruption? What are the recommended anti-corruption measures?
Yes, corruption is definitely a problem. I think everybody knows it. We are supporting the efforts of the government and the parliament to take concrete steps. There have been some steps taken that have been positive, but there are many, many more that need to be taken, and I think everybody knows that. I think I would come back to the word transparency as the single most important thing here. The public needs to know what's going on, and then the public, the voters, will decide what to do about it. But if they don't know, then they can't decide. And so shining a light on the problems that exist is the most important tool. And that's something we are helping with. We intend to try to help more with some technical assistance and expertise to share with various agencies. And there's some new agencies that have been set up also to do that, including the Assets Forfeiture Unit, which for the first time is using that tool. And it's a tool that we have developed in the United States, first and foremost, and we are providing advice on that. So that, for example, if you have clear evidence that state funds were stolen and were used to buy a palace on the mountain or on the seashore, you don't need to have a criminal conviction of the person who stole the money in order to take the proceeds back. All you need to do is show that the proceeds were illegally obtained, and it's possible then for the state to expropriate the assets and return that to the treasury, essentially to the people of Bulgaria. In the past, you had to have a criminal conviction first before you could address that. We had the same problem in the United States, and criminal convictions, as you know, are very hard to get in Bulgaria. The system is not designed to put people in jail. It's designed to give people a good chance of winning the case. So this is very powerful because it's now possible to say to some of the people who've stolen money from the people, we may not end up being able to convict you, but we're going to take as much of the money back as we can because that kind of behavior is unacceptable. So I think that's a very positive step forward. There's been progress made on evasion of customs duties and illegal contraband, especially coming across the Black Sea from Turkey, which is hundreds of millions of dollars a year. On the illegal cigarette smuggling, which has been a huge industry and is being shut down. So these are all positive things, but there's a lot more, and we're prepared to help in any way that we can.
And the last question is a little bit more personal and I hope more relaxed. Would you say that Bulgaria has any special characteristics, and was your transition a smooth one, or were there any issues?
Yes, I would say in terms of special characteristics, there are a lot of positive special characteristics. I've lived and worked all over the world for 31 years, including a lot of time in Eastern Europe. I think the positive characteristics I would cite are, first of all, the role of women, which obviously is not sufficiently equal, but nonetheless, compared to many countries in the world, many countries in Europe, in some ways even compared to the United States, it's really quite impressive in government, in the private sector. The number of strong, successful women is really noteworthy. And it is very interesting when we have meetings with the government, for example, very frequently a majority of the officials in the room are women. And very frequently that includes multiple deputy prime ministers and ministers. But also when we had we have a tech startup group that the embassy sponsors for young entrepreneurs in the tech field. And close to half of these tech entrepreneurs were women. And honestly, you will not find that in Silicon Valley in California. So that's very positive. Again, I'm not saying there's no sexism. I'm not saying there's no problems. But it's clear that there's something positive there. The second thing, I think, is the lack of extremism. Again, compared to most of Europe, and maybe I would say fairly compared to the United States, there are very few Bulgarians who support extreme or intolerant parties or movements. Obviously, there are few, but you know, in the elections, the percentage is tiny. It's sometimes 2%, 3%. So I think that's really a positive thing, that the vast majority of Bulgarians are broadly supportive of democracy, not intolerant, I would say stable, and there's a consensus-based politics for the most part, and at a difficult time, that's really, really important.
Okay, I think that was a good sum up. So we start with other questions if you have.
I assume so.
Okay, I can try first.
Sure.
You said that there is a great sharing of information on national security level, which is good. My question is there anything missing in that collaboration? In terms of the work that has to be done in order to move forward with the waiting visa program, we always say that there is a percentage of visa denials that is important, but we also know that it's important for you to have as much information as you need for the Bulgarian citizens. So are you planning on working to some program of more like regulation, and do you want more access to information about Bulgarian citizens?
Sure. Well, let me say, first of all, the information sharing is very good, especially on issues like crime and terrorism, where it's really important. There's more work that needs to be done, but it's mostly with the EU, not with Bulgaria. Sometimes the problem we have is Bulgaria is very ready to collaborate with us, but can't do so without coordinating with its EU partners. And that includes things like data sharing for immigration, for counterterrorism. So, for example, we can give Bulgaria information on known terrorists, but for Bulgaria to put that into their database at the airport, that has to go through coordination with the European Union so that it's collectively in the Schengen database. And we're doing that. This is all happening, but it's a little more complicated because Bulgaria can't necessarily do everything by itself. In terms of information on Bulgarians, no, I think, you know, the key question that we all have, and it's about all our citizens, is are we paying attention to people who may be terrorists or coming back from Syria or Iraq or traveling to Syria or Iraq? This is an area where you may have missed this, but 2 days ago the European Union took a very important decision to create a new border patrol and Coast Guard that will be EU controlling, together with the member states, the external borders of the European Union, including Bulgaria's border with Turkey. And the second part that came with that is a decision that, except when it's impossible, all movement in and out of the European Union has to be completely checked and recorded. So in the past, for example, when European Union citizens left Bulgaria for Turkey, frequently they didn't even take a record because they were European Union citizens and they were leaving. So they figured, let the Turks worry about it. They're obviously from the European Union. They didn't even sometimes record or check who they are. Now they're going to check everybody because we know we have a problem with European Union citizens committing terrorist acts and American citizens now. We've got to check everyone. But it doesn't need to be any special information. It should just be their passport data to see if they're on any databases. And that cooperation has been excellent.
Thank you.
Аз ще попитам на български. Това се дължи. Аз много добре си спомням преди години, като военни партньори на Америка и имащи загинали войници в военни действия в чужда държава в помощ на Америка, ние можехме да получим облекчен визов режим. Поради една или друга причина сме го пропуснали този момент. Постоянно се говори кога ще отпаднат тези визи. Но де-факто се иска само едностранно. Т.е. ние да успеем да вкараме в някакъв процент нашите българските граждани. Но реално погледнато една Канада прави, има същите, има критики по повод визовия режим. Но Канада, примерно, се справя, намерила е начин, по някакъв начин, и тя да направи някакви стъпки. Например, но тя вече не е привлекателна, така привлекателна за бежанци. Те правят срок от 40 до 30 дена, от 45 дена, успяват да екстрадират, който не е нужен. Америка като че ли винаги се съгласяват, че трябва да се реши, но не прави, някакси хората не виждат. Аз ви го казвам просто, аз съм откровен и смятам, че хората не виждат стъпките от страна на Америка. Да, ние сме пропуснали, нашето правителство е виновно, още по времето на Станишев е било това, когато се пропуснали този момент. За това нещо има и признание на посланник, има признание на външния министър, но какво може да се направи, така че в край на краищата, ако не отпаднат визите за всички българи, поне да отпаднат за нашите близки родители, за братия, сестри, защото трябва някаква стъпка от вас страна също да се направи, а не само обещание.
I know this is a very big priority for everyone, and it is for us as well, for our government. We are doing everything we can to work with the European Union and with the Bulgarian government and the other governments like Poland that are in the same position. But to put it very honestly, there is a law passed by Congress. We have absolutely no ability to change it at all. And it has very, very firm criteria that have to be met, and there are no provisions for waiving or getting around that. One solution is for Congress to change the law. And we have tried to work with Congress in that direction. But ultimately, Congress makes the laws in this country, and we have to carry them out. The second possibility is to meet the criteria, and Bulgaria has made a lot of progress. It has met almost all the criteria in the law, including biometric passports and information sharing and all the other provisions. So the one piece, which you know, is, as you mentioned, the case of the refusal rate. And that refusal rate is very much higher than the provision of the law, to the point that it would be very difficult to get it down to the required level in the near term. It's currently about 15%. It needs to be about 3% for the visa waiver to come in. I'm hopeful in the future that we'll find a way to amend this law. I'm also hopeful that the refusal rate will continue to drop, which is our goal, and we're working on that at the embassy. We're also looking at how we count refusals so that if it's the same person coming three times in a year, we don't count that three times. But this is the problem, and being very honest about it, it's not just Bulgaria, it's a bunch of other countries, including Poland and Romania. Bulgaria is the poorest country in the European Union, and therefore it's actually not surprising that the refusal rate is higher. But it's important to emphasize that we are approving 85%. We just approved 7,000 visas in the summer work and travel program for young Bulgarian students. More than 100,000 now since the program began, young Bulgarians, it's an incredible number. So we're working on it, but we know it's not satisfactory. We know it's a big pain to apply for visas. We know it's very expensive. So I'm personally going to make this a priority because I think it is important. And I also know the European Union feels strongly about it as a matter of principle, and we have to work with them to fix this as well.
Another question for me. Meanwhile, would you lobby for a change in the H-1B program for young professionals? You mentioned that you have some like nice opinion about the IT sector in Bulgaria.
I have lots of opinions, but I cannot lobby the Congress. We're not allowed to do that. So if Congress asks me to come and give my opinion, if they call me to a hearing, I can do that. Otherwise, the President can lobby Congress, and he has been lobbying Congress for years now on immigration reform, which includes reform of the H-1B. And Congress has not acted, and it's pretty clear there will be no action before January when we have a new Congress. So all I can say is I hope a new Congress will seriously work on immigration reform because it needs reforming, including I totally agree about the H-1B program, urgent need of reform, and also our immigrant visa program. I mean, there's all sorts of areas that need fixing, but I have to be very careful not to be seen as telling Congress what to do because I'm a civil servant.
If you invite us to give your opinion, you can certainly express your thoughts on the IT sector in Bulgaria.
Absolutely, and I will say, I mean, it's very impressive and it can grow more, but I think there is also need for talent, and that is one of the difficult questions, is how you get young Bulgarians with expertise to go back to Bulgaria, and one of the ways is good jobs and good salaries, so that's something I want to work on.
Thank you.
Kuzultui, моят син е електроинженер и, в, и тук бяха се обърнали от Westinghouse към него дали би заминал да, да работи на атомната централа. Но в случая до къде стигна с проекта за седми блок на АЕЦ Козлодуй?
I think partly what Bulgaria has been dealing with has been market realities. Bulgaria has enough energy at the moment. It would be good to be able to further diversify energy. It would also be good to export energy and earn money. So the idea of another generating station makes sense in that regard, but somebody has to pay for it. And at the moment, there are various options on the table. There's an American option and there's a Russian option, but the problem is both options require cash. And neither the American companies involved nor the Russians have been willing to do this on credit. What I believe the government of Bulgaria is looking for now is financing from other possible sources, and I hope that happens. And then, of course, I hope they choose the American option, but that will be Bulgaria's choice. But it's a difficult time in the energy markets because the price of oil and gas is so low. And I think given that Bulgaria has enough electricity currently, it's not a crisis. It's just a good idea that hopefully can be supported by the market. But I would just add on energy diversification, Bulgaria is making progress. They're committed to the interconnector with Greece. The interconnector with Romania is almost finished. The interconnector with Serbia will be finished soon. This is all very good news. We also have Shell exploring in the Black Sea and Bulgarian waters and hopeful of finding gas fields. So there's a lot of positive movement toward diversification. And sometimes people misunderstand diversification. They think it's just cutting off the Russian monopoly, and it's not. It's also about lowering the prices. So we like to talk about the example of Lithuania, which was fully dependent for gas on Gazprom, and they built their LNG terminal, and within 6 months, Gazprom lowered the price by almost 25% on their gas. So that's what it's about also.
But Bulgaria not have any resource or gas, right? No people.
We support the idea of Bulgaria as a transit hub as well.
But from
Azerbaijan via the pipeline to
Greece.
Very
old idea. This is 20 years ago.
The
about.
Hoped for new LNG terminal in Alexandroupolis, which we think will happen. Which is also
Greek right now is no good economy.
We'll see.
You make a good. This is a good decision to make. Да има транспортни хубове, обаче няма газ.
I'm optimistic there will be.
I think we're just about...
No, I have one more question.
Okay.
I have a lot more, but the one is the more important.
Okay.
Bulgarian people, what is the... Why I stay in Bulgaria last year about 2 months, и през това време ще говоря на български, по-ми е лесно, а вие разбирате. Мога да кажа, че една от основните така забележки към Америка е това, че примерно вие много добре си партнирате с бивши комунистически дейци, но примерно хора, които са лежали по затворите, хора, които са по-десни и по-твърди, просто не намират разбиране във вас. Същото нещо, по същия начин, вие си партнирате, медиите са в ръцете общо взето на хора, които са свързани по някакъв начин с бившия комунистически там
апарат.
Свързани с държавна сигурност и така нататък. Има медии, малки медии, които се борят да дадат честен поглед на нещата. Но те просто умират, защото няма по никакви средства. В същото време се хвърлят 6 милиона на капитал, 3 милиона на медия по хубаво. Това е добре, че дават. Не много радващо. Но ако някакси да се разпределят дори на малките медии по някакъв начин да се даде потоне, Получава се липса на, на заглъха. Говориме, че сме в информационна война, а в същото време много е лесно, някакси не се прави Русия. Значи, по-добре в много случаи аз виждам, че населението на България би си променило много по-бързо отношението към Америка, ако види, че по някакъв начин има някакъв ефект за, за малкия човек от американската дружба. Ние загубихме. Ако погледнем реално, около всяка една година България се счита, нали, отпада от руските интереси, да кажем. Не от интереси, но в смислата, че по-рано ние се смятахме за най-близкия приятел на Русия. Сега вече не е така. Но вътре българите се надяваха, че ще видят един добър приятел в Америка. Но Америка по някакъв начин хвърля някакви пари, но ги хвърля на, тоест някакси без, тоест не достигат до хората. Достигат до определени олигарси, до определени компании, които са спотекали, иначе са свързани с, с бивши хора.
Understood. Two things. One, our American for Bulgaria Foundation does support some small media, and at the board meeting yesterday, we did have exactly this discussion to look at supporting more startup media, more, as you said, not just a few big projects. So I think that's a very valid point. Unfortunately, and this is where it's difficult. When Bulgaria joined the European Union, we were required by law to end our assistance programs, which included our media assistance. And so I have no money except for occasional exchange programs and training programs in the U.S. I have no money from the U.S. government to support free and independent media. We do have ABF, which has programs to do that, and I'm a non-voting member of the board, and we'll do everything I can to encourage, look at supporting more media. I understand what you're talking about, the interest and all that. They're the ones who attack us every day. They attack me just about every day. So, as a matter of fact, my favorite line, which was from, I think, Peak, was, Mr. Rubin has to understand that Bulgaria is not the Dominican Republic and Sofia is not Santo Domingo. It is not a banana republic. So I do understand that. I can promise you that I understand that very well. But I mean, I know what you're talking about with the media. It is a big problem, and there has not been, in my opinion, an adequate reckoning with the past. Nobody in school teaches the kids what happened under communism. Nobody teaches the kids what happened in 89. It's just not part of the curriculum. So all they know is what they hear from their grandparents, and a lot of that is not accurate. You know, I've even asked the question, most other countries have examined what happened in the 40s. Bulgaria has not. So if you ask your average Bulgarian, how many people did the communists kill in 1947, they have absolutely no idea. If you ask the average Pole or the average Hungarian, they know very well what happened. And so that's a gap. And that doesn't have to be anti-Russian or pro-Russian. It's just the history of the country should be told and should be taught to the kids. And so, but I am frustrated in the sense that I wish we still had more programming money. And we did a lot before 2007, but that's our law.
Okay, for America, for Bulgaria, us. И ми изпратих две програми, два молби за грандове. Едното беше във връзка с тези книги, които ще ви подаря.
Oh,
едната е
за вас.
Без вашите пари ги не издавах. Обаче ми отказаха. Това е книга, надявам се, вие ще я прочетете. Тя е добра за тренинг, защото има и поезия и стихове. А това е за вас. Но отказаха ни
this
пари.
Good for my Bulgarian too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is poetry and проза, така че това ще бъде добре за вас. Хубава е книгата. Има от 66 автора от цял свят. Господин Косова знае за нея. Той има предговор от нея. Но идеята ми е такава, че вие освен това, пред друг един по-маничък проект предложих да се финансира и той отпадна. Тоест, честно казано, хората в България не чувстват, а те имат бизнес. Значи, България има бизнес в Русия. Много дребен. Може да са пирончета, може да са някакви краставички, домати на полето, когато идват туристи. Няма достатъчно туристи от Америка. Аз това съм се мъчил. Това е наша вина също, българска. И аз ви благодаря. Нали, надявам се следващия път да изпратиме да някакво нали, да ни финансирате.
Okay.
И се надявам, че ще имам въпроси към вас още, които ще ви ги изпратя на имейл, когато успеете. Не е казано сега, не бързате. Тези въпроси са генерални въпроси някакви от мои приятели, които се обръщат към вас за помощ.
Благодаря.
Благодаря.
I have one question.
Okay.
It is possible one very intimate question to you.
Yeah.
I am professional genealogist. I question you in Bulgaria.
Okay.
Кои елементи и характеристики от вашия характер най-много са ви помагали във вашата професия като дипломат?
That's a good question. I think I have a good amount of patience. I have an open mind toward other people's opinions. And I think I understand that the world is complicated. So there are no simple answers. Yes.
I have one. Moment. Article. I have you. Email. I sent you.
Please.
Moment. Материала се нарича човечеството, закономерности и хипотези. И обяснява миналото и бъдещето на човечеството. Аз имам на български, очаквам всеки момент да ми я преведат на английски и ще ви изпратя. И ако ми отговорите, ще ви бъда много благодарен.
И последен въпрос, понеже сте били с Украина. Украина се оказва, че за мене лично, не знам вашето мнение, добре ли се помогна, нито военно се помогна достатъчно, нито икономически Украина.
I believe we should do more for economic assistance to Ukraine. We have done a lot, and we just announced another $150 million, I think, but it's not enough. Because I actually think Ukraine is going to succeed. But military systems, at the end of the day, I don't think it would make a difference.
Имате договор от 95-та година, те да се разоръжат.
The problem is, I don't think it would make things better. It would be symbolic, and in that sense it would give them confidence. But they can't win militarily against Russia. We have to get Russia to pull back through diplomatic pressure, economic pressure, sanctions. Ukraine is not going to push Russia out of the Donbass because the Russians can always escalate and Ukraine can never meet that.
But future in Donbass, what do you think?
I think the Russians will have to leave. It's too painful and expensive, and they made a very big mistake. I think they're going to keep control of Crimea, which was also a big mistake. It's going to cost them billions a year. It's a big mistake. But for political reasons, this Russian president is not going to give back Crimea. Not happening. He cannot survive if he gives it back. So, but the Donbass, I think they want a settlement. The problem is they don't know how to get it. They don't know, without looking weak in front of their own public, that they've jumped up into hysteria. So I think Ukraine is going to be okay. But Russia, I don't know if Russia is going to be okay. Russia is not in a good place. Anyway, thanks.
Okay.
Good to meet you.